ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 2 चैप्टर 6 टाइटल्ड पुरुष सूक्त कन्फर्म्ड टेक्स्ट 19। पादेषु सर्वभूतानि पुंसस्तिपदो विदुः अमृतं क्षेमं अभयम् त्रिमूर्ध्नो धायि मूर्धसु। पादेषु इन द वन फोर्थ सर्वा ऑल भूतानि लिविंग एंटिटीज पुंसः ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सन स्थिति पदः द रिजर्वायर ऑफ मटेरियल ओपुलेंस विदुः यू शुड नो अमृतम डेथलेसनेस क्षेमम ऑल हैप्पीनेस फ्री फ्रॉम द एंग्जायटी ऑफ ओल्ड एज disease etc. Abhayam, fearlessness. Trimurdhanah, beyond the three higher planetary systems. Adhayi, exist. Murdhasu, beyond the material coverings. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is to be known as the supreme reservoir of all material opulences by the one-fourth of his energy in which all the living entities exist. Deathlessness, fearlessness and freedom from the anxieties of old age and disease exist in the kingdom of God, which is beyond the three higher planetary systems and beyond the material coverings. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Out of the total manifestation of the Sandhini energy of the Lord, one-fourth is displayed in the material world and the three-fourths are displayed in the spiritual world. The Lord's energy is divided into three components, parts, namely Sandhini, Samvit and Ladini. In other words, He is the full manifestation of existence, knowledge and bliss. In the material world, such a sense of existence, knowledge and pleasure is meagerly exhibited. And all living entities who are minute parts and parcel of the Lord are eligible to relish such consciousness of existence, knowledge and bliss very minutely in the liberated stage. Whereas in the conditioned stage of material existence, they can hardly appreciate what is the factual, existential, cognizable, and pure happiness of life. The liberated souls who exist in far greater numerical strength than those souls in the material world can factually experience the potency of the above-mentioned Sandhini, Samvit, and Ladini energies of the Lord in the matter of deathlessness, fearlessness, and freedom from old age and disease. In the material world, the planetary systems are arranged in three spheres known as Triloka, or Swarga, Martya, and Patala, and all of them constitute only one-fourth of the total Sandhini energy. Beyond that is the spiritual sky where the Vaikuntha planet exists beyond the coverings of seven material strata. In none of the Triloka planetary systems can one experience the status of immortality, full knowledge and full bliss. The upper three planetary systems are called Sattvika planets because they provide facilities for a long duration of life and relative freedom from disease and old age, as well as sense of fearlessness. The great sages and saints are promoted beyond the heavenly planet to Maharloka, but that also is not the place of complete fearlessness because at the end of one kalpa, the Maharloka is annihilated and inhabitants have to transport themselves to still higher planets. Yet even on this planet, no one is immune to death. There may be a comparative extension of life, expansion of knowledge, and sense of full bliss, but factual deathlessness, fearlessness, and freedom from old age, disease, etc., are possible only beyond the material spheres of the coverings of the material sky. Such things are situated on the head. Adhai Murdhasu. Hare Krishna. Here in this verse, we can see a comparison between material existence and the spiritual existence. In terms of the energies, the basis of material creation, the basis of material energies are the three modes of material nature. The Triguna, Trigunamayi, the Maya is Trigunamayi. However, in the spiritual existence, in one sense, they are translated into the three spiritual potencies of the Lord, which are named as Sandhini, Samvit, and Hladhini. So here, as mentioned in the beginning of the purport, the Sandhini potency is the existential potency of the Lord. So the entire spiritual world is existing on this primary potency, the Sandhini potency, which has the existential feature. And when it comes to the material world, yes, that existential feature is manifested into this temporary material world, which exists for some time, and after that it is annihilated. However, the energy as it is remains all the time, eternally. So there is a huge difference between material existence and spiritual existence. And sometimes we may wonder who is in majority. We want to see majority always, right? We want to feel part of something which is major. We want to be part of something which is much more, much greater, so that we feel secured, we feel fearless. So we want majority. And as devotees, we always wonder who is in majority. Who is in majority? And we naturally come to the conclusion that devotees are minority species. But Krishna clarifies this point in Bhagavad Gita. What Krishna says? Krishna says, Vitaraga bhaya krodha manmana mam upashrita bahavo jnana tapasa puta madbhavam agatah. So Krishna says, don't worry, you are not minority. Bahavo puta madbhavam agatah. Bahavo. Actually, many have come to the spiritual existence by giving up vita, by giving up raga, attachment. Then bhaya, fear, and krodha, anger. Manmana. How? By the process of manmana, by thinking of me. And by that process being purified, they have come to spiritual existence. And as we know, as it is stated in these verses, this whole material creation is only ekapada vibhuti of the Lord. This is just minority, it is insignificant. And the tripada vibhuti, the complete opulence, is existing in the spiritual world. And most of the population are in the spiritual world. So we are always part of the majority, and that is giving us fearlessness, being at the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, Abhay. So that is provided by the Lord. So that is one difference between the material existence and the spiritual existence. Because we are constantly tormented by fear. We want to get away from the reality. Why intoxication is so prominent? Because it's a substantial means to get away from the reality of the world. Because there is nothing positive of the material creation. There is nothing positive of material life. What is positive of material life? Is that the body is going to degrade? We are going to die? The whole, if you see the environment, it is getting worse day by day. So what is good about material existence? If one is objective, if one is rational, if one can foresee something, if somebody has left with some intelligence, then one has to be pessimistic about material creation. One has to be pessimistic about material life. So Srila Prabhupada very emphatically stated, only an animal is positive about material life. An intelligent man, a human, must be pessimistic about material life. We say, how is it going? Everything is going good. We think, even as devotees, we think things are going to get better. Not on the spiritual plane, but on the material plane. We may think, oh yeah, health, now it is a bit better, you know, things will get better. It's just a matter of time. But we must understand things are going to get worse in terms of our material existence. There is nothing good going to happen. As the age progresses, the body is not the same. The world is not the same. It is getting worse. Our habitat is not the same. It is getting worse. So actually there is nothing positive about material existence. However, the mass majority in this material creation do not want to accept this fact, and they want to get away from the reality. So they don't want to speak about the reality. They don't want to speak about death. They don't want to speak about old age. They don't want to speak about disease. They won't just speak about, okay, I'm feeling very good. I want to do sense gratification. That's all. Over the past 4 days, we were in a place of sense gratification. We went for this music concert where, 16,000 people were there. And it's a lot of people. And people are just single-pointed attention for sense gratification. They want to get away from the whole thing. They are just partying whole day, whole night, trying their best. But you can see their faces. How much enjoyment do they have? Some of them, they are trying to be with their partners, female association. Still, see their faces. They are just suffering. Simply, they are suffering. They are just drunk. Man, woman, equally drunk. They can't even stand. They are just, swaying in front of our counter. Give us anything. This is the situation. See the mass majority of people, how they have misunderstood enjoyment. There is enjoyment. Yes, that is a fact. But how they have misunderstood enjoyment. And they are trying to enjoy in a wrong plane altogether. And they are just suffering. Just suffering. We can see straight away they are suffering. Especially when we see one or two, okay, we can neglect. When we see everyone in the same condition, then we can understand what's really going on. Some people are passed out, lying on the floor. Some are vomiting, some are just barely walking. So this is material creation. This is material existence. As Srila Prabhupada pointed out, Westerners are very good in managing passion. Very good in managing passion. So in terms of material enjoyment, they party hard. They can do that. They know how to do it. And sometimes in terms of career, in terms of work, that also they can do pretty well. I was speaking to one devotee. He was telling, yes, the time where they drink, they are completely drunk. They are completely smashed. But at work, they are doing pretty well. In their career, they are doing very good. Srila Prabhupada said, in passion, they can manage passion pretty well. Balanced passion program. They can do that. One passion being compensated by another passion. Careerism being compensated by intoxication. Then in turn, it is coming to, again, careerism. So people can do that to some degree. However, where is the real happiness? Where is satisfaction? Where is enjoyment? It isn't there. So this is material existence. And the exact opposite is spiritual existence. That is Vitaraga Bhaya Krodha. Give up raga, give up attachment, give up fear and krodha, anger, which is born out of frustration. So give up and then come to the platform of spiritual existence. That is predominated, as it is mentioned, by the Sandhini, Samvita, and Hladhini Shaktis of the Lord. The spiritual Shaktis of the Lord, which are manifesting and which are completely exhibited in the spiritual creation. And a shadow is existing in the material creation. So even if we consider different planetary systems within the material world, apparently there is a kind of fearlessness. Apparently there is a sense of happiness. Apparently there is a sense of knowledge and deathlessness. But it is not complete, even if we go to higher planetary systems. It exists to some degree, but not complete. So Srila Prabhupada takes the example of Maharloka. Because Maharloka, great sages go to the Maharloka, but even for them, they have to face death. Apparently, they have to go through old age. Not in the sense as we think, but death is there. It means there is old age. Not the suffering that we have to go through. Still, there is death. So, ultimately, where is enjoyment? It is in there. So that is the definition of enjoyment from the Vedic concept. Na sato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate asataha. That is, if somebody is existing all the time, the spirit soul, then there is no cessation for that. Whereas on the contrary, something which is temporary, it doesn't have eternal existence. And so when we talk about enjoyment, we are talking about enjoyment or happiness which can exist in the eternal plane, in the eternal realm, which we can subscribe to because we are qualified. We have the eligibility for that. Only thing we have to get qualified for that, we have the eligibility for that. We are not actually meant for this suffering. We are not meant for this. So Srila Prabhupada is reminding us, yes, we have to go beyond this material suffering. And as devotees, even we have to see within ourselves, how are we making progress in Krishna consciousness? We can give up gross sense gratification because that is to a great degree covered by the regulative principles. We can give up gross sense gratification. Then it comes to the realm of subtle sense gratification. We want to enjoy different thoughts which are lingering in our mind. May not be very Krishna conscious. And it comes to our mind and we want to stay with those kind of thoughts. We don't want to give up. Raga, we have attachment for thoughts. We have attachments for subtle sense gratification. Certain kind of thoughts which are not really good for us. Still we want to linger in those kind of thoughts. So this is subtle sense gratification. So we have to see how can we cut when the desires come which are not in aligned with our Krishna consciousness, then how can we give up that? How can we give up those kinds of thoughts? How can we cut our thoughts? And how can we surrender to Krishna? So surrender to Krishna is not an end of the life process. When old age comes, we think, old age comes, I will surrender. Now it is a time, we have our quota of sense gratification. It can be external quota or the internal quota. So external quota is there. We assume, okay, this is my quota of sense gratification. So that much I will take and the rest is surrender. And then when it comes to the mind, then again we have our quota. Some kind of thought, I know it is not very good for me. These kinds of desires, yes, according to the Bhagavad Gita standards, according to the Bhagavatam standards, are not at all conducive for my spiritual progress. But I allow my quota of sense gratification within. Can we see that? I can see that. I allow, this is my degree, this much, it's okay. And Maya is so powerful, and as the time comes, it can actually puff up, it can come to a greater degree, it can manifest to a greater degree. It can even completely submerge ourselves at times. So this is subtle sense gratification. So as devotees, we have to see what is our program to serve Krishna. What is our program of surrendering unto Krishna on a day-to-day basis. Even we can see on moment to moment, you know, how our subtle existence is going on. How our thought patterns are developing. So this is our challenge. This is our challenge in Krishna consciousness. How can we surrender to Krishna? So we have to be watchful. We had to be watchful to our thoughts. We had to be watchful to our mood in our service. Otherwise, it can become very difficult to make progress. So it's a question of whether we want to be happy moment by moment or we want to suffer moment by moment. So we have that choice depending on our surrender to Krishna, depending on our attitude, depending on our what kind of thoughts we are managing in our mind. So we can make progress internally, and with that mind we can serve Krishna externally. So Krishna consciousness is both external and internal. It's not just external. Okay, we can act externally, but internally we can remain in Maya. We have done many times internal Maya and external action, which is good, because at least we are trying to serve externally, which is good. As it is said, you know, fake till you make it. You know, fake it till you make it. So at least it's good external. But if you want to make progress, we have to look internal, which is very, very important. So we can see what is Vita Raga Bhaya Krotha. Which are our Raga? Which are our attachments? What are our attachments? Which has a very strong connection to ourselves. Just like an iron rod can easily get attracted to a magnet. In the same way, certain sense gratifications have a strong attraction to our mind. Our subtle body is created such that they go very well together. We have to see. And what are we going to do about it? So this is, we can see that. Then we have to take shelter of service to Krishna. More we surrender unto the service of Krishna, more we are protected. When we surrender to service in the mood that we have no hope, but I have to somehow or other do it to please Krishna, then we get the same reciprocation. As Krishna says, you know, as we surrender, Krishna reciprocates. Ye yathamam prapadyante tam tatheva bhajamyaham. So the same principle applies everywhere. If we surrender in our service, then Krishna reciprocates. We can see that on day-to-day basis. So service is an opportunity. Service is an opportunity for us to show Krishna that we care for Krishna. We have some affection for Krishna. So all the external activities are manifestation of our internal feeling for Krishna. So when it comes out in the right way, then definitely we can see the hand of Krishna. So Krishna consciousness is not a process where we just talk something about God, we do some services and just leave it there. No, it's an internal activity, and there is a reciprocation of the Lord which a devotee can experience. All devotees can experience. So as we move forward in our Krishna consciousness, we had to see the hand of Krishna in our life. We had to see the hand of Krishna in our services on a day-to-day basis. If you see many so-called popular books on spirituality, they are based on paranormal experiences. There are so many supernatural paranormal experiences, and through which they promote spirituality. So you can see something which is beyond normal experiences. So they are trying to say that, okay, there is something beyond. But Krishna consciousness is not like that. Krishna consciousness is seeing Krishna in our normal life. That is Krishna consciousness. We don't have to do any miracles. We are not looking for that kind of miracles as others are propounding. Rather, we want to see hand of Krishna in our daily life. Then our life is successful. As even Chadushloki says, sarvatra, sarvatra sarvada. In all time and in all places, one can see the hand of Krishna. So that is Krishna consciousness. So more we realize, then we can see this point more evidently. Then Krishna consciousness is not a static experience. It's not a static process. Rather, it is dynamic and it is ecstatic. That's right. So we had to move forward towards that direction. And for that, if we want to take our next step of advancement. If you want to give up some of our internal attachment, if you want to move forward in that direction, one impetus for that is preaching. I'll explain how. If we want to be effective in preaching, if we develop a desire that, okay, I want to preach and I want to be effective in my preaching, it could be in terms of book distribution, it could be in terms of cultivation, it could be in terms of giving a lecture or presentation, whatever. I want to be effective in my preaching. If we have that desire, if we cultivate that desire, then we can see on the other side, as a parallel track, we can see that we are not pure enough. Srila Prabhupada said, purity is a force. We can see that, okay, I want to preach, I want to present something which is beyond my capacity. The whole presentation of Krishna consciousness is something which is transcendental. And we can see, I am not transcendental. So when we want to present something which is transcendental in a very effective manner, and when we look into ourselves as still so much of anartha, so much of mixing with the modes of material nature in our devotional service, that gives us an impetus to purify ourselves. That gives us an impetus to move forward, to avoid, okay, these kind of things, I really don't need these kind of things. I can live without these anarthas. I can live without these thoughts. That give us an impetus to move forward. Because we are, by nature, we are looking forward. We are in a kind of, we are in a business mode in one sense. We want something. Yes, we want something. And what we want is effective preaching. And for that, what we've had to give up, of course we have our sadhana program, our service, but we have to give up is the sense gratification. So this gives us an impetus to move forward in Krishna consciousness. So to cultivate the desire for preaching is very good because it is helping people, and since this impetus is very strong, so it helps us to move forward in our spiritual life. So it is beneficial in both ways. It's beneficial for us and it is beneficial for others as well, equally. And Krishna looks, because Krishna wants to see that his glories are being spread throughout the world. And if we try to be an instrument in the whole process, then Krishna is pleased. He will give his mercy. So then we can see we make progress. So we had to think, how can we move forward in this mission? So Srila Prabhupada said that our business, our family business, is preaching. So if we take that seriously, then we can see how we can go beyond all these material inabilities. You know, here it is mentioned very interestingly, you know, fearlessness, what we want to achieve. Fearlessness, very interesting, fearlessness. We are full of fear. Have you noticed our fear? We have fear. We try to defend in so many different ways. And people get, many times, people get so possessed by fear that they can't act properly. Their decisions are bound by fear, by anxiety. And Krishna consciousness is providing a solution for this. Just by, you know, chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, understanding the philosophy, and doing some service to Krishna. Such a powerful process. So I stop here and see if there are any comments or questions.
So, you have told how Sanatana's Shakti has transformed to this material.
Yeah.
Did that a good one understood this?
The Lord has three potencies primarily manifested in the spiritual world. They are known as Sandhini, Samvita, and Ladhini. Sandhini is the existential potency. It is the basis of existence. Then the Samvita, which is the knowledge potency, the potency of cognizance. And Ladhini, which is the bliss potency. So this is Krishna's three energies. Those three energies are completely manifested in the spiritual world. And the aspect of these potencies are present in the material world, and the existence of the material creation, that is, the material creation is existing. So the basis of that is ultimately it is Sandhini potency, which is manifesting in the as a material creation ultimately. But it is not the same manifestation as the spiritual world. Spiritual world is completely manifested by the Sandhini potency. Here, it is primarily in the three modes of material nature. But it the basis is Sandhini. So that is the whole material creation. The prime ingredient is the three modes of material nature, is the goodness, passion, and ignorance. So that is the material creation. So, but the root is coming from the Sandhini, which is the spiritual existence. Whereas the knowledge aspect of the material world is coming from the Samvit aspect of the spiritual world. Because Lord Balaram is in charge of the Samvit potency. And the expansion of expansion of expansion of Balaram is coming as Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, who is Paramatma within the heart of all living entities. So, Mattasmriti Jnanam Apohanam Cha. So the knowledge feature, even though the material knowledge, it is a feature coming through this potency.
Knowledge is good.
Yeah?
As you say, the material knowledge is not perfect, but how then, if it is linked with that?
Everything, all material energy, everything, even Maya is an energy of Krishna. Everything is energy of Krishna. There is nothing which is not energy of Krishna, not an energy of Krishna. Everything is energy of Krishna. Even Maya is energy of Krishna. Mama Maya Duratya. Doesn't mean we have to be in Maya. Maya is energy of Krishna, but doesn't mean we have to be in Maya. Yeah. So, yeah, everything is energy of Krishna. Not only material knowledge, spiritual knowledge, everything is energy of Krishna. That is the bliss potency. That is a potency through which the living entities in the spiritual world, the liberated souls, are enjoying relation with Krishna and experiencing bliss in that spiritual relation. That spiritual relation is not existing in the material world. But when one is qualified, the Haladini Shakti can manifest in the heart of a living entity, even within the material world. Yeah.
We are talking about fear, which is that fearless fear comes not only just physical external fear, but in the mind also.
Yeah.
Fear is there for so many things. So practically, what us as an individual to overcome that fear, which is.
Fear is such a deep-rooted feature of material existence that is considered the second nature of material existence. Bhayam dhitiya abhinivesata syat. Dhitiya abhinivesata. That is the second nature of living entity, to be in fear. So as far as material existence is there, in other words, as far as we have material consciousness, that much we are in fear. So fear can only go away as we progress in spiritual life. As we advance in spiritual life, the fear can go away. The internal fear which is deep-rooted, it is synonymous with material consciousness. Material fear is synonymous with material consciousness. So if you want to get out from material fear, then we have to give up material consciousness. Giving up material consciousness means coming to Krishna consciousness. So it's not something which we can do an adjustment to the mind or an intellectual adjustment. Yeah, it can help. A theoretical understanding can help. But if we have to actually go deeper, then the only solution is to advance in Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada is known as Abhay Charanaravinda. Abhay. So that Abhay is a quality of a pure devotee. So that purity is that which is required. Understanding Krishna is the protector. Everything depends on surrender. If one is surrendered, then one is fearless. To the degree to which we are surrendered, to that degree we are fearless. It doesn't come automatically. Well, of course, theoretical understanding is very good. So we get a, because of our theoretical understanding and because of a certain amount of realization, we have that much amount of fearlessness. We are in lesser anxiety compared to a materialistic person who is trying to protect himself in all different means. Too much concerned about the job, too much concerned about the boss, too much concerned about everything, about the bank balance, too much concerned about the whole thing. However, devotees, they are pretty fearless in certain respects. But when you have to go deeper into the fear aspect, then we have to take more shelter of Krishna. We have to give ourselves to Krishna. We have to serve in that mood. Then slowly we can move forward. It's not an overnight thing. If surrender is an overnight possible, then this is also possible. Depends on individual. But it's not a, you know, shortcut thing, you know. Just do this, immediately it happens. No, it's not an adjustment, but it's coming naturally. It has to come naturally as we progress. Yes, bro.
Thank you for the wonderful class. Here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, in the material world, such a sense of existence, knowledge, and pleasure is meagerly exhibited, and all living entities who are minute parts and parcels of the Lord are eligible to relish such consciousness of existence, knowledge, and bliss very minutely in liberated stage. So, it is mentioned very minutely in liberated stage. Whereas in conditioned stage of material existence, like
which page is it? The sentence, Charlie. The whole full sentence?
Yes.
Out of the total manifestation of the Sandhini energy of the Lord, 1/4 is displayed in the material world and the 3/4 are displayed in the spiritual world. The Lord's energy is divided into 3 components, partly namely Sandhini, Samvit, and Hladini. In other words, He is the full manifestation of existence, knowledge, and bliss. In the material world, such a sense of existence, knowledge, and pleasure is meagerly exhibited, and all living entities who are minute part and parcel of the Lord are eligible to relish such consciousness of existence, knowledge, and bliss very minutely in the liberated stage.
Once we do devotional service, you are under the protection of the Kladini Shakti, and also Sandhini Shakti.
This
conception, you have only, you know, some knowledge potency. You have knowledge only. I'm the soul in liberated state, but that doesn't mean, you know, your relationship with Krishna, which gives you in bigger quantity experiencing this Sandhini Kladini. Liberation is the, like a zero point, starting point in spiritual life.
That's right.
That's why they experience in the minor quantities, they don't experience it fully. Because only devotees can fully experience. They experience little bit of Satchidananda, and that's it. Actually, they don't experience Ananda. They experience only relief from suffering, and they think that's Ananda. But that's not Ananda, that's only relief from suffering. So that's why it says in minor. Because only fully you can experience this through devotional service, through prasa with the Lord. Liberation doesn't guarantee you this full experience of this three shaktis.
Okay, that's interesting. If it is liberation, if it is a Brahman realization, then it makes sense.
And you mentioned seeing Krishna's hand in daily activities. Someone can become inactive also, or someone can become overactive as well. If, how one can see that, you know, there is Krishna's hand in what is happening in my life. For example, you know, someone loses his job, then he will say, okay, Krishna doesn't want me to work, then he won't find job, for example. Or someone will say, well, down.
By seeing Krishna's hand is again, it doesn't deny the three aspects, Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So when we see Krishna's hand, it has to, you know, there are checks and balance in the whole thing. That is, we can consult our Guru, we can ask devotees, we can see through Shastra. So it's not a mental speculative program. I am seeing Krishna's hand and I can do whatever I want. That is not seeing Krishna's hand, but one is just experiencing one's own mind and acting upon one's own mind. So that is not actually seeing Krishna's hand. So if you see Krishna's hand, then it has to be, or if it is a major thing, I am saying, it is not a minor, it has to be verified by Guru and other sadhus, other devotees. So it's not something which is ordinary in that sense. Especially if somebody, you know, a devotee loses a job and immediately he comes to the conclusion that, okay, it's only service and I have no responsibilities if he has a family. That is just the mind, laziness, that's all. So one has to consult. And if services are going on and there is no time for sadhana, for example, or for health, that's also not correct. So one has to do something about it. So one should see what is required. You can see Krishna's hand. If one is out of balance, the nature gives indication, the body gives indications, the mind gives indications. These are also indications. This is also arranged by Krishna himself, right? If somebody is stressed out, it's the nature's way, it's the body's way to say that something is going wrong. You have to do something about it. It's like if you cut your finger or if you burn your hand in fire, the pain is a benediction. It is a nature's way to show that, okay, you are doing something wrong, which is going to create more trouble to your existence in the body. So, the same way, we have to see holistically. We cannot just pull one thing out and then see, okay, that's it, that is everything. So that is mental speculation. It's not about mental speculation. But aligning with Krishna's desire through the parampara, through Guru, through the devotees.
Mortality of the jiva here. So what is the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam in running this point over and over again, when it's kind of an obvious conclusion that get out of here, it's not for you, but it is again and again presented that, you know, you there is fear, there is death,
Bhagavatam presents the rasa. Bhagavatam presents rasa, relation with Krishna, and 10th canto is there exhibiting relation of Krishna's devotees with Krishna, the whole pastimes. However, we are not yet ready for that. Bhagavatam is slowly building different points, and even after finishing 10th canto, again 11th canto, even 12th canto, many aspects of Gyan even Krishna himself has presented, because we have a lot of deep-rooted attachment to shake us, to give us, we need to be reminded again and again. We have heard so many times, surrender unto Krishna. It's very clear in terms of hearing. Have we ever applied? Maybe to some degree sometimes. We have to be reminded to shake our attachment, Gyan, as such. If we just consider Gyan aspect of Bhagavatam, it is presented. So because we are still in the sadhana stage, still we have material attachment. So it is very important to cut that through knowledge and then present the rasa aspect. Yes, Mataji had a comment on this.
Okay. Fear is associated with bodily conception of life. That's why fear and bodily, it all the time explains we are not the body, we are not the body.
Yeah.
Because actually we need to realize that.
Yes.
And we need to be reminded all the time. And yeah. The other thing is, like there was one lady who had mere headache. I read that she wrote a book long time ago, and she explained, she went back to Godhead.
Mm.
And then she got interviewed for a TV, on a TV, and they asked her, are you afraid of something? He says, well, I'm not afraid of anything, because I know I'm not the body. The worst thing can happen to anyone is to die. And I'm looking forward to it, because I know what is beyond it.
Mm.
Because she said that after this life, she will go back, back to Godhead. She said, so I don't care.
Mm.
I'm looking forward to it. So there is nothing which can frighten me. So it's basically fear is associated with bodily conception of life, goes very closely together.
Mataji has that point.
I was wondering if you could expand on the last sentence. So my understanding is that Prabhupada is referring back to the chapter is the confirmation of the Purusha Shuddha.
Yeah, okay.
And the Prabhupada saying that fearlessness is only possible beyond the material spheres of the coverings of the material sky.
Yeah.
And that such things are situated on the head. So I'm presuming that, that means the head of the Purusha Shuddha. But I was wondering about the actual, if you could go into the translation and into the Sanskrit.
Yeah, the... Okay, the word to word is adhai, exist, and murdhasu, beyond material coverings. I'm not sure. Anyone has any comment on this? I'm not very clear about that point. On the head, yeah, it's not clear for me. Because we are not... Virat Roop is finished. So it's not specifically on Virat. It's not about the universal form, because that is done. Purusha Sukta is primarily it's prior to Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So on the head, I'm not 100% sure. Why it is mentioned. Maybe we can look at it. Yeah? Yeah, here it's mentioned about the liberation. Such things are situated on the head. This is our last sentence.
Maybe that has connection with the, you know, how the great sages they live through the top of the body, the crown chakra, when it's fully open.
Yeah.
You have that, you know, you're not the body.
Yeah.
You know, it, and you live through the crown chakra, actually. Crown chakra is very, and it's on top.
Yes.
And it's, you know, when you're fully realized, it's fully open. So it comes, all that knowledge comes through the crown chakra.
Could be. Could be.
Speculation, I'm not
sure. Yeah, could be. I don't know. I'm not sure at this stage. So, Jay Prabhu had a comment here.
You mentioned preaching gives good impetus.
Yeah. Oh, the reason is all devotional service, everything is absolute. However, preaching is we are attacking Maya. So it is more intense. It's not, we are not just serving, we are serving Krishna by attacking Maya and removing the misconception in the heart of other living entities. So it has a special intensity. And for that, we need shelter of Krishna, and we feel that we need help of Krishna. Otherwise, it is impossible. We can straight away feel Mama Maya Duratya, Krishna's energy is so overpowering. So we need to take shelter of Krishna. So it's like, you know, if you are on the street distributing books, naturally you will start chanting. Because you straight away you feel, you know, you can't give out any books, you know, you are just helpless, you can't do anything. Yeah, I pray, there's no other way. So when we feel helpless, because we feel helpless, then we take shelter of Krishna. That's all. Whereas if you do some other things, you know, we may not pray so intensely. Well, we are not attacking, actually. This is like, you know, this is pretty much no one wants it. And, you know, we are straight away attacking. So we can feel the intensity. So even though both are on absolute platform, how much we take shelter of it, that matters. Anything can make progress if you take shelter of it nicely. It doesn't matter what service. But one place we feel more needful, that's all. So we take more shelter. Other place also, actually we need mercy of Krishna, but because of our conditioning, we don't feel for that. It's like if you cut a potato into two pieces in the kitchen, we don't feel so much intensity. It's the absolute platform. It's the same thing, actually. If both are absolute. But we don't think we need Krishna's mercy to cut this potato into two pieces. But actually we need. But we don't feel like that. But other place we feel that. That's the only difference. So one place we take shelter, other place we, you know, just look up and think whatever and we just do the same thing. So one because of shelter, we take more shelter, we get more reciprocation at one place and other place we don't get so much. Because our own problem, it's nothing to do with the service. It's our attitude. Okay.
So how does that help one to become fearless?
Yeah, that's a good question actually. It's interesting because there's actually some people, this is a reality, some people who cannot continue brahmacharya is a fact. It's one reason some devotees cannot continue brahmacharya after a certain age because of insecurity. Some people feel. They might have practiced brahmacharya for few years actually. But after that they get this kind of a feeling that what will happen after a certain age? Who will look after me? So this is actually another form of maya. Who will look after, where is looking after, where is guaranteed? In any ashram actually. In the material existence other than Krishna, who can actually look after? Who can make the arrangement? But this is a form of maya that can creep into one's mind and think, you know, some brahmacharis after some time, they get into this kind of feel that who is there to look after me? As if there are, you know, other people in any other circumstance, you know, waiting to look after. In any place, you know, we know what happens in any situation, you know. Who is there, you know, other than Krishna, who is there? So, in one sense, if you talk about brahmacharya ashram is a situation. There, things are clear right from the beginning that Krishna is for protection. Krishna is there for protection. There is no other. We are not dependent on any material so-called family relation or, you know, so-called things. Mainly the family connections, we feel, okay, the family connection, that can give us a security. That is there. Especially, you know, if a grihastha life, that is there. That is part of it. That is, you know, the family is there to protect me. I have to protect the family. I have to provide the family. Yes, I'm not talking on the absolute platform. On a pure devotee, he thinks all Krishna. But otherwise, a part of the mind is that we think, yes, I am supplying the family and they will protect me. There is an exchange and I have someone at any time, at any given time. At least there is one person who will look after me, who is there for me. So these are these kind of emotional support. Which is not really true. But that actually helps in grihastha life to keep going. But when one comes to brahmacharya and after some time one gets out from this kind of mentality, one has to get out from this mentality that anything can happen. No one may be there. But the point is one should understand in serving Krishna, brahmacharya ashram, the good thing is one is constantly engaged in serving Krishna. There is nothing else, practically. Otherwise, brahmacharya is not going to last. If there are too many gaps, then there is no brahmacharya. One cannot. So, brahmacharya means it has to be associated with service to Krishna. So, then one can see the hand of Krishna. One can see, when we serve Krishna, we can see Krishna's reciprocation. So, with that, one has to develop faith that Krishna helps. And one has to also understand, even if we go through difficulties, still Krishna is there. It's not that we can blame. Oh, I did so much, but I have to go through this. This is a test. This is a test of Maya. We have to be ready to face all these kind of things. But it's part of it. But that helps to make progress. And we can see other devotees. We can see, you know, senior devotees, you know, may have gone through difficulties, even so much of practice. Bhakti doesn't, this is a very interesting point, no matter what ashram, bhakti doesn't guarantee a sound material body without any material discomforts. That's what I was telling. Bhakti is not about all paranormal experience. Even at the age of 80, has a very fit body, you know, only black hair, you know, you can jump and dance. No, it may not be the case. We may have done whole life of service, but we may not be very healthy at the, you know, the time of death means definitely it's not healthy. Body is finished. But still, we have to be thankful for Krishna. Krishna allowed me to serve. Krishna allowed me to serve. Whatever I had, I could give. This is like, this comes to the prayer at the end of Sri Ishavanishad, where the devotee prays that, now, O my Lord, kindly remember whatever service I have done to you. Now for that, if one has to come to that platform, if a devotee has to pray for that, one has to do some service. If he has to play, I have done anything, you know. Now, at the end, kindly remember, did I do anything? So if we actually give service, whole life we do service for Krishna, then naturally one can think, okay, I gave a best shot. Then let's see whatever happens. It's up to Krishna, no problem. So, serving Krishna is the most important.
What you are saying is true. Also, Prabhupada, even in few purports, Krishna takes over a lot of reactions.
Yeah.
Take away the reactions.
Yeah.
So he does take care still if we serve.
Hare Krishna. Okay.
One reporter was talking to Prabhupada's disciples.
What if?
If we stop giving,
yeah.
We are supplying money. The moment is going on. So he asked Prabhupada, and then Prabhupada replied, tell him to stop killing. So indirectly he was saying, no, it's not that, you know, you are supplying us. Krishna is actually supplying.
Yeah. Krishna is supplying. Krishna is protecting. Krishna is supplying. Whole life is to realize that. Whole service is to actually realize that. Krishna is the protector. Krishna is the supplier.
Nobody can stop.
No one can stop. The Prabhupada said, Krishna, by Krishna's mercy, we have everything. No, we have no problem. Finance, everything is good. Prabhupada said, but if not, sometimes, if we devoid of anything, we don't have anything, Prabhupada said, then Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Matra Sparshasya Kamataya, just tolerate, no problem. That's what Prabhupada says. If we have everything, yes, it is Krishna. If it's not there, tolerate. So, yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Granth Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitya Gaura Premanande, Hari Hari Bo.